All right, so this is Christianity 101, and this will be a 9-week class, and we're just going to be going over the basics of Christianity, Christian belief, and also Christian living and Christian practice. Okay, so the very basics about what does it mean to be a Christian and to live as a Christian. Caleb, can you grab that? Is that a next? Caleb, can you and Dylan just take a look? So just take a quick look at the schedule overview. And I have some printouts here. Let me just give this to you guys. And I'll just use my laptop to... Yeah, you can take a picture too. All right, so... So today we're talking about the Word of God, and I know at Crossway we have already spent several weeks talking about the doctrine, the theology, what we believe about the Bible, also how to study it. So today this will be more of a supplemental, meaning I wanted to make this a little bit different and just hopefully supplement it a little bit more. All right, so let me just begin by just reading the top verse, and this is a key verse when we talk about what we believe about the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Okay, so two very key descriptions about the Bible. One is it's breathed out by God, meaning its source, and also its function, its usefulness. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So R.C. Sproul said this, the value of Scripture, you can even use the word the preciousness of Scripture. Why is the Bible so precious to us? Why is it worth so much, more than $1 million? Someone offered you $1 million or someone offered you the Bible? Which one is worth more? Well, the value of Scripture in life of the believer lies in this. Its source, its function. Where is it from? What does it do? Sproul also says, there's a very sage advice to this, consider the source. When someone says something to you, it's always good to consider first, what is the source? Consider the source, right? And here we talk about what the source of Scripture, it's God Himself, it's breathed out by God, all Scripture. Okay, so today I'm just going to mention four key truths, and we're just going to kind of just fly through these four key truths, and afterwards I'm going to ask you guys to interact with one of them. Okay, so pick one to interact with. Okay, so the four here are this. Number one, Scripture is God speaking words to us plainly and condescendingly. Now, when someone uses the word condescending, like I'm speaking in a very condescending way to you, that's not a good thing. That's a very insulting thing because I'm speaking down to someone. But when here we say God is speaking condescendingly to us, that's not a bad thing. That's a gracious thing. Because He's coming down to our level to speak in ways that we can understand. Okay? So that's number two. We're going to see Scripture is both truly of God and truly of man. It's not 50% God, 50% man. It's 100% God, 100% man. It's truly of God. It's truly of man. It's the Word of God and man. Number three, Scripture is what Christ loved to study. Jesus Himself loved to study, and Jesus Himself obeyed the Bible. That's a key, and we'll see very briefly that. Number four, Scripture is what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, loves to use. All right, so I have a lot more notes there than we'll go through. We'll probably just mention, we'll just hit on a couple of those, but I just want us to kind of catch on to the main ideas of it, okay? So first, Scripture is God speaking words to us plainly and condescendingly. You guys, if you guys have any questions at any point, feel free to mention it, all right? There's this one author named Sinclair Ferguson, a really cool guy, a Scottish guy, a pastor. He was a former pastor, and he's a good Bible teacher. He said this, and now listen to the way God, this is the way God intended the Bible to work, along with what He does in His works. Okay, listen to what he says there under point one. Sinclair Ferguson said this, God has redeemed through a series of mighty acts through history. He has done works of saving through what he has done. In scripture, he has given us his own explanation and interpretation of his action in his word. So it's kind of like if Dylan one day came to church and he just did all this crazy stuff. And we're like, Dylan, what was that about? Why'd you do all this crazy stuff? And Dylan said, let me tell you why. And he explained his reasons. He explained what he did. He explained why he did it. Dylan did the works himself, and he explained the works to us. That's what the Bible is. God has done a great work to save in human history. And in the Bible, God has explained it to us so we understand what he has done. Does that make sense? Sure. Do you guys want to? It's recorded online, so they're able to watch it after. Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's one thing about what the Bible is for. It's meant to, it's God himself explaining what he has done. Okay. Let's go down to, look at the next one. Sinclair Ferguson also said this. In scripture, God meets us where we are and comes down to our level to be understood. It's kind of like, I'm going to pick on Dylan again. Dylan, if you, when you speak to your dog, what's your dog's name again?
Hope.
Hope. When you speak to your dog, do you speak in big, long sentences to your dog to kind of explain these long ideas?
No.
Or do you just say, eat, come,
yeah,
here?
Yeah.
Good dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're speaking down to a level so the dog, with the limitations of the dog's brain to understand, you're speaking in a way so that a dog can understand. Well, God is speaking to us in scripture. Have you ever, I mean, if God Almighty, infinite in wisdom and power, if he chose to speak to us in his most 100% God way, we would be completely lost, because we're peanut brain people compared to Almighty, all omniscient, all wise God. But God chose to speak to us using words, sentences, paragraphs that we can read and understand. Okay, so God has chosen to speak to us to be understood. That's point number one. Look at point number two. Scripture, and this is where it's from, is both truly of God and truly of man. Where did the Bible come from? Who wrote, who authored the Bible? Who is the source of Scripture? Look at that key verse there, 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. So what part of scripture was ever produced by the will, by the cause of man? It says none, no, right? So not a single word going on, but men spoke from God. Okay, so Paul truly wrote, but it was truly from God, through Paul. And they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So by means, through the working of the Holy Spirit. They were carried along by the Spirit. Look at point C there. There's this guy way back in the day called B.B. Warfield. He was a really good theologian, and he wrote a lot about the Bible and what we believe about the Bible. And listen to what he says here. This is a bit of a longer quote. So if you guys can, just kind of catch the different parts of this quote and see what he's describing. This is a very interesting thing he says. Listen to what he said. If God wished to give his people a series of letters like Paul's, okay, what books did Paul write? We think of like Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. If God chose, or if God wished to give his people a series of letters like Paul's, he prepared a Paul to write them. He wanted this thing called Romans to be written. Those 16 chapters, he wanted that to be written. So he prepared a Paul to write that. Paul, with his mind, with his experiences, with his writing, he wanted this to be written, so he prepared just the right person to write it, Paul. And the Paul he brought to the task, he caused Paul, he prepared Paul, and he caused Paul to write it, was a Paul who spontaneously would write just such letters. Okay? Look at the next one down, Roman numeral 1. Ferguson kind of restates the same idea. God wanted the book of Revelation, so he prepared a John to write it. All right? So, in other words, just the book of Romans truly is of God. It truly is the word of God. It truly comes from the mind and heart of God. The book of Romans, every single word of it, but it came through the mind and the writing of Paul. Because God wanted this, and he prepared and caused every single word of it through Paul. Does that make sense, guys? Truly of God, truly of man. So who authored scripture? Caleb, who authored this book? Yes, God. Ultimately God. But also, who authored scripture? Who authored the book of Romans? Caleb, who authored Romans?
Paul.
Yes. Is it God or is it Paul?
Paul wrote it.
Yes, Paul wrote it. Ultimately, it is the word of God. But yes, also truly, it is the words of Paul. Because God wanted Romans, God caused it to be written through Paul. So that every single word written by Paul's hand, from Paul's brain, but ultimately every single word is from and of the Lord who wrote, caused it through Paul. Is God able to do it? I mean, God is almighty. God is able to do anything. This is the way he has chosen to speak, right? Through the writings of men. So 2 Timothy 1:21, that's a key passage or verse. Okay, so number three. And this is one that I hope that as we kind of just look at very briefly, that you guys kind of see the significance of it. This is actually a very important point. Because first of all, let me ask you guys. It's kind of like if you were on the Los Angeles Lakers, and the coach told you to do something, and you're thinking, I'm not sure if we should be doing that. That sounds kind of weird. But then all of a sudden you look and Kobe's doing it just like 100%. He's trying his hardest to do what the coach has said. And you're thinking, well, if Kobe did it, then I better do it too, right? Okay, the word of God. Jesus not only studied it, Jesus obeyed it. Jesus put his life under it and he obeyed the word. He lived by it. Look at Matthew 4:4. He answered, this is after Satan tried to tempt Jesus to sin in the wilderness. He answered, it is written. Key words here, it is written, meaning this is what the Bible says. Man shall not live by bread alone. Live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the word of God. You live by those words. And look at the next one. Sinclair Ferguson said this. The words, it is written, or a similar phrase, appear about 90 times in the New Testament. Have you guys noticed when the New Testament says, it is written, right? That's just another way of saying the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. These three words settled matters for Jesus and the apostles. In other words, whatever the Bible says, that's what Jesus believed, and that's how Jesus lived. And that's the Son of God himself. Why? Because this truly is the word of God itself. So Jesus, recognizing what the Bible was, he submitted himself to it. Right? That's pretty crazy. Let's go down to 3e. And this is a very short verse, but notice the last word there. And the word there, you're going to see the word broken. And think about it this way. If this Caleb told this Caleb, hey Caleb, I'm gonna give this to you on Sunday. And Caleb came to church ready to receive it. But Caleb said, never mind, I lied. Or Caleb said, just kidding. Or, hey, sorry, I forgot. Caleb just broke his word. And Caleb's like, you gave me your word. You said you were gonna do this. And I trusted you that you're going to do it, that what you, the word that you said, it was true. And you would do what you just said you would do. Caleb said, I'm sorry, I forgot. Caleb said, you broke your word. Okay, look at this verse 3e. And this is talking about the God who gave the word and just how true and how firm the Bible is. The scripture, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. So this is what Jesus says about the Bible. The scripture cannot be what? It cannot be broken. So not a single word of scripture will ever be broken or proved to be false, proved to not come to pass, or proved to not be true. Not a single word will ever be broken because God will never break his word. That's what Jesus believed about the Bible. And that's why Jesus was able to believe it and to live by every single word of the Bible. That was Jesus. Okay, let me ask you. Jesus being the Son of God, fully man. If anyone had true and perfect knowledge about spiritual stuff and about the life, the Christian life, and about God and about scripture, if anyone had perfect knowledge, it's Jesus. And this is what he said. And this is how he lived. This was his attitude toward the Bible, right? And he is not wrong. And so this is true. If you look at Roman numeral 2 under point E, there's this guy called Kevin DeYoung. He said this: the Bible can no more fail, falter, or err than God himself can fail, falter, or err. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. We all sin. We all make mistakes because we are human. But God never makes mistakes because God is God. And if the Bible is the word of God, as much as God is perfect, as much as God never makes a single mistake or never tells a single lie, the Bible never makes a single mistake or tells a single lie, right? Okay, so look at Roman numeral 3. Kevin DeYoung says one more thing. He says, holding to the highest view of inspiration, highest view of the Bible, meaning low view of Bible, that's an awful book. Middle view, that's a pretty good book, but you know, I don't know if I fully believe it. High view, I believe every single word of it. Not a single word can be broken. What is your view of the Bible? What was Jesus' view of the Bible? The young says, holding to the highest view of inspiration, highest view of the Bible was not the invention of any man. It came from Christ. So if we follow Christ, one of the most basic, simplest ways we follow Jesus is following him in the way that he loved and he studied and he obeyed the Bible, right? Okay, let's finish up point number 4. And this is the way God works in the world now. This is what this Holy Spirit loves to use in our lives. Number 4, scripture is what the Spirit loves to use. Okay? I have 3 verses there. I'm going to have 3 of you guys read 1 verse each, and I'm going to sum it up in point D. All right? Zoe, can I ask you to read point A? Abby, can I ask you to read point B? And Caleb, this one, read point C, please. So, Zoe, can you please read 2 Peter 1:21?
For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, very quickly. So what that's saying is the word of God came through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit caused the writing of all scripture. Okay, that's what point 1 or point 8 is saying. All right, Abby.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. You will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
All right, so very quickly, point B is just saying the Spirit not only caused the writing of Scripture, it caused the producing of this thing that we call God's Word. The Spirit also, it says here, we will receive power and you will be my witnesses, meaning the Spirit is also the one who will empower the preaching and the speaking and the going forth, the passing on of Scripture. Okay? Caleb, number three.
Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding of or word of God.
All right. So so right there it's saying John 3 talks about how in order for anyone to become a Christian, we need to be born again. Right? You must be born again, meaning you must be born of the Spirit. There's this big fancy word called regeneration. That's what it's talking about. We must be born again. And here, what does it say? How does the Spirit cause people to be born again? It says through the living and abiding Word of God, meaning the Spirit uses the Word of God. Okay, so to sum it up, look at point D there. The Spirit who caused the writing of the Word is the Spirit who empowers the going forth of the Word. Number three is the Spirit who uses the Word to do His work. So it's kind of like who's the best quarterback in football right now? Is it
quarterback?
The guy who throws the football.
Oh, like Kendrick Lamar.
Isn't he like a rapper?
Kendrick Lamar.
All right. Okay, no football fans here.
What about Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
Yeah, that guy. I don't think he's a quarterback there. I think he's a yeah. All right, Tom Brady. Let's just say Tom Brady. He throws the football, and he throws the football so well. And guess what? He also ran all the way, and he caught the football, and he scored a touchdown himself. He was the one who threw it. He's the one who received it. He was the one who caused the going forth of it. He's the one who caused the receiving of it. Yeah, that's what the Spirit does. And He does it through the Word. He caused the writing of it. He caused the going forth of it. And He caused the receiving of it. And through it, through the Word, he causes people to be born again. And He causes us to be sanctified. Okay? Do you see how the Word of God is so powerful? Because the Spirit uses it. He loves to use it. Okay, so just so one more verse. Acts 6:7. The Word of God continued to increase. The number of disciples, what? It multiplied. So the Spirit caused the Word to go forth, and He caused disciples to multiply. That's how your friends become Christians. That's how you became a Christian. That's how we all grow as Christians, through the Word, because the Spirit loves to use His Word. All right, so that's the 4 points today. Again, number one, Scripture is God speaking words to us plainly and condescendingly. Number two, Scripture is both truly of God and truly of man. Number three, Scripture is what Christ loved to study and Himself obey. And number four, Scripture is what the Spirit loves to use.